Elle sighed. Fine. Blood oath at midnight it is. Whatever works for you. The point here is that this campaign could be a really good thing for both of us, if it's done right.
Agreed. I want it to be just as tasteful as you do.
As tasteful as you dropping in on that wave?
Gia smiled. It was a good barb. Points for Elle. Something like that.
Elle pushed a fist into Gia's shoulder as she walked away. Train hard. Just know I'm training harder.
Bet on it.
Wait, that came out wrong.
Bet that you're wrong,
she called lamely to Elle's retreating form. Instead of turning back, she offered Gia a wave of her fingers over her shoulder. Damn that woman. How did she always seem to come away with the upper hand? Gia blinked after Elle and watched as the waiter did a double take as she passed, his eyes zeroing in on her ass, her long, tanned legs. Gia shook her head at him, not at all noticing them herself. Deep breath. Not at all. Sometimes she really hated herself. Gia sat on a green cushioned couch in the outdoor seating area at Seven Shores while she looked over the trainer's paperwork Gwendolyn had sent over. It was late in the day, and the loss of the sun overhead left the air chilly. Gia didn't mind. For whatever reason, the window from late afternoon until dusk was Gia's favorite time of day. It made her feel like something exciting lay in store as evening encroached. The contract looked fine to her. In fact, it was a damn good offer, and with Gwendolyn's stamp of approval and her attorney's, she was ready to sign. The I's had all been dotted and the T's had all been crossed. She tried not to think in depth about the fact that she would actually be working on this campaign with Elle. At least she would be paid a hell of a lot of money to do it.
Oh, is that the chip contract?
Autumn asked, joining her. She'd taken to working shorter days at pajamas since the pregnancy and dropped her apron on the chair next to the one she'd plopped down in.
Yeah, I guess we're a go. I have to buy them now.
No, you don't.
Do too.
Autumn ran her hand through her springy red curls as if to bring life back to them after a long day.
Understand something. If Gia Malone says I should eat these chips, I'm going to eat them.
Gia laughed.
I had no idea I had that kind of power. Gia Malone also thinks you should give her free coffee for the rest of time.
Strangely, that one didn't work as well, Autumn said seriously, and then moved right along.
This means you and Elle, your number one rival, will grace the screen together.
Gia sighed. Apparently. Autumn raised an eyebrow.
Competition be damned. She's hot. You guys will look great together. That marketing guy is no idiot.
She is not hot, Gia said, and felt the lie burn her tongue.
Okay, if you say so, except she is.
Gia let it go.
So, when was the last time you got laid anyway?
Autumn asked. Gia stared at her, water bottle stalled midway to her lips.
What kind of segue is that?
On reflection, it feels like an effective one, Autumn said.
We were talking about a hot girl, and now we're talking about what one does with hot girls. So, dish, laid, win, go.
I don't know, Gia shrugged. There was a girl a few months back at a tournament in Hawaii, a local, just a one-night thing.
A groupie? You're doing it with groupies now? That's a thing?
No, Gia said, figuring out how to explain.
It's not a thing at all. It was a drunken, celebratory mistake after a big win. But you asked, and I don't lie.
Autumn grinned. I got laid this morning. Gia sat back against the couch with a laugh.
Uh-huh. This was just a front for you to gloat. Isabel would call this sex gloating.
And sex gloat I shall. It was glorious, G. Autumn's eyes lit up, and she shook her head as if the mere mention transported her back in time. There were stars and rainbows. Glitter fell from the heavens.
Gia shook her head in appreciation. Maybe Kate deserves a medal for more than just firefighting.
Good God, that woman does things to me. And with the pregnancy hormones hitting, let's just say it's happening a lot more often. Speaking of which, I'm feeling a little tired. Might head inside.
I see straight through you, Carpenter.
Autumn grinned.
yet I feel no shame.
Gia watched as her friend made the short trek to the apartment she shared with Kate on the bottom floor, the same apartment that had led to their meeting the year prior. There was a cosmic justice in that, Gia decided. It was also nice to have Autumn living so close by.
Hey, is that the contract?
Gia glanced at the gates to see Isabel enter the courtyard, hand in hand with Taylor.
Yep, they want to get started right away.
For the corn chips, right? Taylor asked. They're not bad. I gave them a try.
I'll take not bad. What are you two up to?
Just here to grab some clothes. I'll be at Taylor's for the next few days, since it's closer to work and we'll be pulling some long hours. Fat Tony is coming, too.
Cool.
Isabel's cat, Fat Tony, had slowly become the hateful little mascot of Seven Shores. They took turns feeding and tending to him on weekends, when Isabel spent her days and nights at Taylor's. When it was Gia's turn, she'd stay an hour or two and play hide-and-seek with the moody cat, allowing him to leap out from under the couch and attack her feet. She feigned surprise for his benefit, but let's be honest, he was fooling no one. As far as Isabel and Taylor went, Gia wondered why the two of them didn't just bite the bullet and move in together already. They seemed adamant about not rushing, but were so insanely in love, she didn't really get the point. To each their own, her mom always said.
Do you know she has her own calendar? Taylor asked. The other surfer, El Britton.
Gia nodded. I've heard that somewhere. She'd heard it everywhere. They sold that calendar at vendor stands at the tournaments. Those things flew off the shelves, and people lined up in droves for Elle to sign them. Some of the photos had her in action, shredding like she was born to do it. Other months were a little more sexy in nature. Elle in a swimsuit, simply holding her board. She thumbed through it once or twice, purely out of curiosity.
"How did you come across an Elle Britton calendar?" Isabel asked, scratching her head.
Taylor scoffed.
One of my writers used to have it pinned to their cubicle at work.
Isabel turned to her, amusement plastered all over her face.
And you just happened to notice one day as you breezed through?
Oh, would you look at that! A hot girl in a bathing suit!
Not hot, Gia supplied.
They ignored her.
Taylor held up both hands.
I will completely admit to finding those shots motivating.
Isabel laughed.
That motivation is causing you to blush. Oh, and it's spreading. This could get embarrassing. Look out, everyone.
You're awful, Taylor said, now the impressive shade of a tomato.
Of course I am. I don't have my own calendar or anything, not even a desk version.
There's always Christmas, Taylor said innocently. I'll need something under the tree. I don't think you even need the swimsuit.
Isabel's mouth fell open. And now I'm blushing. Perfect. She shook her head. I think posing naked might be a little beyond me.
Taylor smiled.
Not if memory serves.
Gia held up a hand.
You guys get that I'm sitting here, right?
Isabel laughed. My fault. Come on, let's get my stuff, she said to Taylor. G, you're in charge of the complex until I get back. No loud parties, understand? Larry Herman rule.
On it.
Gia rolled her shoulders, wondering what was in the air that had her friends all sexed up. If there was time to be jealous, or the smallest burst of energy available, she would have been.
Oh, wow! Is that it? Is that the contract?
Gia stared hard at Hadley as she approached, keys jangling from her hand. Her hair was swept up in that posh way she did it for work in some sort of blonde twist. Her designer clothes only confirmed where she'd been.
You guys planned this? Isabel put you up to this, didn't she?
Planned what? Hadley asked.
To all open with the exact same sentence? It's like Groundhog Day.
Hadley shrugged, dismissing it.
It's 'cause we all live together. Mind melt. It's real. Now, is that the contract we've been waiting on?
It's the contract.
Hadley stared in awe.
Can I hold it? She whispered.
Gia passed the stack of papers her way.
You're so weird.
I'm reverent.
Hadley held the contract to her chest as if to soak it in, swaying slightly as if backed by a choir.
There's a difference. And this contract is huge for you, which makes me extra happy. Next level stuff, Gia. I'm proud of you. You should be proud of you, too.
Hearing Hadley gush made it hard to hide her own smile, because Had was right. This was the kind of exposure she'd been looking for. And with exposure came opportunity. And those were the kinds of things that kept a career afloat and tournament fees covered into the future. Leave it to Hadley to remind her of life's little business truths.
Yeah, well, sometimes I get caught up and forget to celebrate the small victories.
Not small. Huge. This is a huge victory.
Gia swallowed the urge to downplay and nodded instead.
Huge.
And in preparation for this campaign, have you figured out your L strategy? You probably want to if you'll be working together a lot. I can't even imagine how that's going to play out, you two working side by side.
Another valid point.
I was planning to just be professional and not let her get to me. Probably not the best plan, though, because she always seems to.
We could do better. Maybe we need a poster board.
Hadley looked skyward.
Not to get off topic, but it's intriguing what Iz said a couple weeks back, isn't it?
That Ms. Pac-Man should be allowed to have boobs? The only problem with that is, where would they go?
Hadley held her eyes closed for several seconds.
No, Gia. Strangely, not that.
Give me a hint.
I meant the part where she said you and Elle had sparks. Apparently this corn chip executive thought so too. Interesting series of events is all.
Gia felt her defenses engage.
Please tell me you're not going there. Not everything is hearts and butterflies, Had, just because you want it to be.
First of all, ouch. And second of all, I'm not going there, Hadley said quickly. I know you hate Elle and how always put together she is, but maybe that's part of it, that tension.
I see through her, that's all. I'm not her number one fan. That part is true, but it certainly doesn't mean we have sparks. The whole idea is stupid. Isabel's just projecting her glamorous, fictional world onto my life, and the fit's not there. It's lame.
Understood, Hadley said with an affirmative nod. Won't mention the sparks again. We'll mention nachos, though.
Her eyes took on longing.
Let's get some on the boardwalk, please, with sour cream on top. My day smacked me on the back of the head rudely. Cheese will help me love everyone again.
Now, nachos on Venice Beach was an offer Gia couldn't pass up. So she softened, letting go of the bristles from the conversation with a sigh.
You just said the magic words.
Hadley broke into a grin.
This way, superstar. It's time to celebrate your chip deal in style.
Gia nodded.
With more chips.
Duh.
Chapter 4. Elle tunneled a hand through her untamed hair as she studied the nondescript building through the windshield of her car. Her call time for the photo shoot was not for another 10 minutes, but she was stringent about leaving a cushion in case traffic was unruly. It hadn't been, and as was often the case, she arrived at her destination early. She rolled the window down on her Beetle and let the afternoon breeze drift through the car. She had a third date with Christopher scheduled for that night. The shoot for trainers would likely go through the afternoon, leaving her a small window to get home and change before he'd pick her up. She'd need to do a few stretches first, as her morning workout left her muscles beaten and sore. She grinned, loving it when her muscles pulled, a sign of her hard work. Things with Christopher had remained pleasant enough. He was witty and kind and knew how to dress himself, which was sheer bonus. They'd taken to texting in between dates, and he was a solid conversationalist. So why wasn't she more excited about tonight? She was seriously starting to wonder about herself and her ability to stay interested in a guy for long. After checking the clock, she headed inside and found hair and makeup ready to doll her to pieces for the shoot. She took a seat in the folding chair as they went to work. Loud rock music blared from nearby, and her gaze settled on Gia, who stood in front of a green screen several yards away, posing for the photographer in a black and blue two-piece that made her look badass and feminine at the same time. She wasn't sure who had chosen the suit, but it was a good call. Elle had almost missed the bag of chips in her hand as she stared at the tangle of dark hair pooling at her shoulders. That was how great she looked. Lights and reflectors framed the space around Gia, and a myriad of assistants dashed here and there, adjusting props, lighting, and Gia's hair. As her hair was styled, Elle strained to hear the conversation above the volume of the music.
"Hit me with a competitive gaze," the photographer called to Gia, who adjusted her grin into a hint of a glare.
It wasn't close to the look she got on her face in the heat of real competition, the one that said she'd come to win. Elle knew that look all too well. Thinking about it now, visualizing it, got her worked up, and remembering the finals loss in her not-so-distant past only bolstered the effect. Nope, she wasn't a fan of that competitive gaze at all, and rolled her shoulders to rid herself of the strong physical reaction. Half an hour later, with her hair shiny and her makeup in place, she joined Gia under the lights. They would do several different looks together before Gia would head out, and Elle would shoot her solo shots. The schedule was designed to make maximum use of their time, which she appreciated. She also knew that she had more experience at this kind of thing than Gia did, and would likely finish her part of the session faster.
"Looks like you're having fun over there," Elle said, sitting off to the side of the shoot.
"Oh, I don't know about fun," Gia said, passing her the briefest of smiles between shots.
That smile was probably forced, she decided, even though it didn't seem so. Would Gia afford her a real smile? She and Gia Malone had never had the best relationship, and for whatever reason, that went beyond their competition in the water. Elle had gone out of her way to be nice to Gia on more occasions than she could count, only to have that friendship branch stepped on, snapped in half, and handed back to her in pieces. Gia didn't like Elle, and after all was said and done, she wasn't especially fond of Gia either. She found her hyper-focused and closed off for the most part, though she did seem to have lots of friends on the tour. Didn't mean they couldn't have a cordial working relationship. Elle planned to make sure that happened.
"Oh, come on, it's not so bad."
"For you, maybe," Gia said. "Mugging isn't my thing. I just look like an asshole."
"Then don't think of it that way."
While she could see that Gia was nervous and outside of her comfort zone, she hid it well. Plus, her looks would be killer in print. She had these large brown eyes that just didn't quit, thick dark hair, and a sculpted body people killed for. That Elle would kill for. The camera was going to love her, which was great news for the success of the campaign.
"So, what's your suggestion?" Gia asked. The photographer stepped away from his camera. "That's good, Gia. Let's take five and then we can do the two-shot with Elle." "Cool. Thanks, Jake."
"Elle, good to see you," he said, dashing over and kissing her cheek. She beamed.
"Always a good day when I get to work with you, Jake."
They'd done a handful of shoots together in the past, and he was easily one of her favorite L.A. photographers. Elle walked all the way onto set, now that it wasn't in use, refocusing on her conversation with Gia. It wasn't like she had much else to do.
"It's all in how you approach the day."
Gia eyed her skeptically, but seemed intrigued, as if she could use a lifeline, even if it did come from Elle.
"What does that mean?"
"You just tell yourself that you own the room."
She laughed. "Yeah, but I don't."
"No one does. But that projected confidence helps you get through it."
"That's what you do?"
"Always."
Gia smiled and glanced away.
"Well, that explains a lot."
Elle laughed and accepted the barb.
"There's nothing wrong with playing to the crowd. I'm not sure why you look down on it."
Gia took only a moment to answer. She smelled like fresh cotton.
"I would rather just focus on the surfing."
"Yet, here you stand."
Gia offered a nod in surrender. Elle had her there and knew it.
"Are we gonna get through this together?" Gia asked, her guard coming down.
Thank God for that, because going toe-to-toe every time they worked together was going to get old. She hated conflict and would go out of her way to avoid it.
"I think we'll be fine."
"Good," Gia said. "Me too."
Jake clapped behind them and joined them on set.
"Okay, we need some rivalry shots for the chip folks to choose from." The slogan for phase one of the campaign is apparently, there's only room for one at the top. I don't know if you've met the ad exec on the project, but...
Mallory Spencer, a striking brunette said, joining the conversation.
She wore a tailored business suit and came with a kind smile.
Pleasure to meet you both. I'm an admirer of your work.
They said their hellos, and Mallory detailed the goals for the campaign.
So, essentially, phase one is all about the competition, the rivalry between the two of you. Hardcore, intense, the battle for the number one spot. Theo's got it all worked out. We're simply implementing his vision.
Eld chuckled quietly, but Gia caught it and raised a questioning eyebrow. What? Eld said in response. I just don't really feel the title's up for grabs.
Gia held her gaze. You won't, until the moment I take it from you.
The banter was lighthearted, but laced with an undercurrent of truth that Mallory clearly picked up on. She pointed at them.
Use that in that shoot. It's golden.
Shouldn't be hard, Elle said with a grin.
Let's do it, Britton.
She was surprised Gia didn't shoulder check her as they turned to position themselves on set, according to Jake's instructions. For the first round of shots, they faced each other, as if advertising a Saturday night fight. What that meant was that they were forced to stand face-to-face and challenge. She attempted the glare Mallory had asked for, but it was hard to sustain, and she felt the edges of her mouth turn up.
I'm sorry, she called out and readjusted, giving her arms a shake. You're a badass, she told herself out loud. Look at what a badass you are.
Gia laughed.
How am I supposed to keep a straight face with you saying stuff like that?
Elle looked at her innocently.
That part's on you.
Are you serious right now?
As a badass.
Gia shook her head. They readjusted and went at it again. Hardcore stares. Serious attitude.
It worked for a few clicks, until Elle dissolved into giggles.
Embarrassed and unable to stop, she held up a hand.
My fault entirely. This is just not me. I'm usually happy. It just comes more naturally.
Not today you're not, Mallory said. Because this woman is about to take what's yours. Got it? Rip it the hell away from you.
Gia raised another eyebrow in appreciation. What was with all the eyebrow raising, and how was she doing it so effectively? Elle harnessed the outrage, planted her feet, and faced Gia, competitive stare firmly in place. The camera clicked, 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 as Jake moved around them, offering encouragement. He was talking, but she wasn't really listening. Her focus was on Gia, because when told to stare at another person for an extended amount of time, you start to notice things about them. First of all, Gia's skin was flawless and soft-looking. It almost made Elle want to reach out and touch her cheek briefly just to find out how soft. Because of their proximity, she could feel the heat coming from Gia's body. She took a breath. And then there were her lips.
Wow, perfect. Let's adjust for look two, Mallory said, shattering Elle's concentration and pulling her back into the here and now.
She blinked hard and forced herself to focus on Mallory. This woman seemed to know exactly what she wanted and had a warm yet knowledgeable way of expressing herself. Elle appreciated her moving them along. After all, she had a date to get to.
Let me just adjust this one strand of hair, Mallory said to Elle, moving the strand off her forehead. And where it go? Gorgeous.
The rest of the shoot went surprisingly well. Gia found her stride, and Elle's individual shoot was a piece of cake. She thanked the hair and makeup staff, Jake, and of course Mallory, who would apparently help oversee the campaign from New York as they moved forward. Feeling accomplished, if not a little tired, she headed to the parking lot where the sun was setting and the temperatures dropping. She expected to hop in her car, put the top down, and jam out to some tunes. What she didn't expect was to find Gia sitting on the curb. Elle passed her a questioning glance.
Won't start, Gia said blandly, and gestured to her black Jeep Wrangler.
Her shoulders drooped and her eyebrows were drawn.
Do you want me to take a look?
Elle asked, approaching. She was quick when it came to troubleshooting cars, something her father had made sure she and her two brothers were adept at. You know about cars?
Gia asked. She stood and pushed her hands into the back pockets of her cut-off shorts.
Not everything, but enough to help diagnose.
Gia hesitated, and Al was confident it was hard for her to ask for help.
Do you mind?
No, that would be great. Thanks.
It took her only a few moments to ascertain that the engine on the Jeep would crank but not start, narrowing down the problem.
When was the last time you had your battery replaced?
Maybe 3 months ago.
Then I'm going to guess this is an ignition issue. Unless, of course, you're out of gas.
Gia balked. I'm not out of gas. I'm not a total dumbass.
Elle placed her hands on her hips.
No, not totally.
The shot pulled a grin from Gia, who had an amazing smile. A shame she didn't employ it more frequently.
Unfortunately, you're probably going to have it towed to the shop.
Gia tucked a strand of hair behind her ear as Elle exited the driver's side of the Jeep.
I was afraid of that. Thanks for the diagnosis. I'll call it in and see if I can get a friend to pick me up.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Elle wasn't sure what to do in this moment. Should she just walk away and leave Gia there on the curb, knowing a friend would come along eventually?
Nope, not her style, even where Gia was concerned.
I can drop you.
I live in Venice.
Right. There was that little hall to consider.
It's cool. I honestly don't mind.
Are you sure? I mean, I'd appreciate it.
Hop in, Malone. I hope you like Bieber.
Gia paused.
That's a joke, right?
Elle stared at her.
I realize you think I'm a vapid Barbie doll, but give me some credit.
No, not totally vapid.
Elle laughed. I see what you did there. Maybe there's hope for you after all.
Oh, well, if Elle Britton thinks so, then I'm golden.
Shut up and get in the car.
They drove in silence for a while, listening to the classic rock station. Gia stared out the window. Elle focused on the road. They'd never really been left together for too long on their own.
Now what?
Elle wasn't the type to sit in silence for extended periods, especially when it felt awkward. In fact, she couldn't stand it. Her social compass was screaming at her.
Minutes passed.
Still no one said anything. She felt like she might explode, and then did.
I have a date tonight.
Gia turned to her.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why I'm telling you this. You hate me,
Elle said, shaking her head at the personal direction of her comment. Why couldn't she have said something about surfing or groceries or the weather, for God's sake? Her mouth had a mind of its own.
I don't hate you.
You do, too. In fact, you've gone well out of your way for years now to be sure I know it.
She cringed again. Why was she making their car ride a therapy session? Oh, she had excellent people skills. Why were they failing her where Gia was concerned?
Gia seemed to soften. For the record, we're just different people. You're perky and peppy and love the media. I just want to surf and leave it at that.
So you're saying we don't speak the same language?
Gia shrugged.
I guess that's probably a big part of it.
A long silence.
It's not a crime to be upbeat.
I guess not.
Gia seemed to consider the comment further.
But you can't tell me you're feeling on all the time. Some of that is manufactured, right? It has to be. The smiles, the toss of your hair, the endless hugs to everyone you see.
Okay, Elle said, nodding. So now we're getting somewhere. You think I'm fake.
I didn't use that word.
But you wanted to.
Maybe a little.
Well, don't hold back.
They were really going at each other now, and it felt quite satisfying.
Gia sighed, decelerating their exchange. Look, it's likely we're going to be tossed together a lot because of this campaign. So maybe we should find a way to...
get along?
Not kill each other, Gia said simultaneously.
They smiled at their different approaches, a common ground moment.
Deal,
Elle said finally.
Gia nodded.
Another silent stretch hit. In a plot twist she was not expecting, Gia saved them this time.
Who's the guy? Elle passed her a glance as she exited for Venice.
What guy?
Your date. You mentioned having one tonight.
Oh, right, Elle smiled. His name is Christopher. We've gone out twice before. I like him, I think.
Does he surf?
He does not. He's in finance.
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Gia wince.
But not boring finance. Exciting stuff. He's smart.
And hot?
He's good-looking, yes.
The full package, then. Gia pointed. I'm up here on the right.
Elle followed Gia's directions until they pulled up to what she could only describe as a boutique apartment complex. A post stood in front with a cute hanging sign that said Seven Shores, which made sense as that seemed to be the address, Seven Shores Drive. Elle nodded, studying the building.
This is where Gia Malone lives.
Gia glanced up at her place. It's not fancy, but it's blocks from the beach, which, as you know, is important.
I'm guessing you're training for Swatch Pro.
It was the next tournament on the championship tour. This time, they'd stay stateside in San Clemente, California. Only day and night. Elle nodded.
Me too. It's like I never sleep.
Bring it, Britton. I'm ready for you. Gia raised her eyebrows in a challenge that was only half in jest.
Elle shifted, knowing that as much as she scoffed at Gia's recent rankings climb, it did increase the pressure. She pushed that much harder during her workouts, knowing that Gia was only a handful of points away from taking her title as they neared the end of the tour. While motivating, it also left Elle nervous and a little off-kilter, which wasn't her favorite place to be. Gia tapped the top of the beetle once.
Hey, thanks for the lift. I appreciate it. You didn't have to come all the way out here. Very cool of you.
Any time, Elle said, brightening to her typical smile. It also gives me a chance to scope out your practice beach.
Totally my territory. Don't get any ideas.
The comment was playful and a good note to end on.
Be good, Elle said, and pulled away from the curb, realizing that that whole thing could have gone a lot worse. Maybe they'd made a little progress today. At least, she hoped so. But it was time to push Gia Malone from her brain altogether. She had a date to get to and an outfit to settle on. She cranked the music and drove toward the setting sun, wondering just what delicious possibilities the night had in store for her.
Freeze. Don't move a muscle.
Gia glanced up to see Autumn standing in the entryway to the courtyard.
Why am I freezing exactly?
Oh, don't play innocent with me. We saw you get out of Elle Britton's car. What gives?
Gia glanced around. First of all, who's we?
The three of us, Autumn said, gesturing to her stomach. As in, me and the twins.
I didn't realize they kept tabs on me the way their nosy mother does.
Well, they do. They're advanced for their age. Now, spill.
Gia walked on, passing Autumn, who turned and followed her, hot on her heels.
There's nothing to tell. Jeep's getting towed, which sucks.
Did she do something to the Jeep?
No.
Did you guys do something in the Jeep? Together, perhaps?
Gia whirled on her. You need to stop hanging out with Isabel. She's a bad influence on all three of you.
She made a circular gesture in the direction of Autumn's stomach.
And why is that?
Gia turned at the sound of Isabel's voice, and found her lounging on one of the courtyard couches, probably trying to steal some sun for that pale skin of hers, a common and genuinely futile occurrence.
What did I do now?
Gia marched over to her.
You're the one getting both Hadley and Autumn going about Elle Britton and sparks and conflict.
Saucy conflict, Isabel amended matter-of-factly. You guys have the recipe. You're the ones with the rivalry. I just pointed it out. I can't help it if the romantic and the busybody have both run with it. She shrugged. Not on me.
Totally on you.
Autumn raised her hand.
Which one am I?
The busybody, Isabel and Gia said in unison.
She nodded.
I own that. The busybody would formally like to point out that this one just got out of Elle's white convertible Beetle. saw it with my own busybody eyes.
"Get out of town," Isabel said, intrigued now.
"The story heats up." She squinted at Autumn.
"What else did you see? Report."
"Nothing," Gia told them.
"Because there was nothing to see. Stop being dumb." "I saw them laughing," Autumn said. "Most definitely. And smiling." Gia touched the car fondly, like this.
Autumn imitated the tapping of the hood, but drew it out in exaggerated fashion. Gia rolled her eyes.
"Wow," Isabel said, nodding, as if taking it all in. "That's progression from wanting to kill each other. Right on schedule, too. I couldn't write this any better."
"I hate you both," Gia said calmly, and headed to the outdoor staircase that would lead to her second-floor apartment. Let them speculate all they wanted. In fact, let them drown in curiosity. But then, she couldn't hate them for long. In fact, it lasted about 90 seconds. Her ability to hold a long-term grudge against her friends was embarrassingly lame.
"Miss Pac-Man and 20? She called down to Isabel, who glanced up. They'd bonded hard over their love for retro video games and never looked back. Isabel was not only competitive, she understood the treasure that was Miss Pac-Man, a rare find.
"Done, my place. I'll tell Kate."
Barney, the beach bum who lived next door to Isabel, strutted from his apartment and looked up at her.
"Surf chick?"
"What's up, Barney?" Gia called down.
"Can you introduce me to your surf friend in the car?"
She stared at him.
"No."
"She's the girl of my dreams," he said happily, and ran his hand through his shaggy blonde hair. "Got her calendar on my fridge. She's in a swimsuit."
Isabel and Autumn exchanged a grin and a fist bump on the couches. Their muscle-bound neighbor was generally a happy-go-lucky individual, if a little random. You could always count on Barney to lend a hand when you needed one, making this the first time that Gia wanted to murder him. She took a moment to gather enough energy to not do just that.
"She has a date tonight with a guy named Christopher, so I'm thinking she's not in the cards for you, Barn."
"Boo, Christopher," Autumn said.
Isabel nodded. "We hate him."
"Who is this dude? I'll take him down," Barney asked, flexing.
"Seriously? Did the guy ever wear a shirt?"
Gia lifted a shoulder. "Got me? I just report the weather." She pointed at Isabel. "Pac-Man with a bow in 20.
18 now.
"Do you at least have her digits?" Barney called.
Gia chose to ignore him. She let herself into her apartment and crashed temporarily on her couch. With 13 minutes to veg and 5 to make sure her car was brought to the shop, she used the time to relax and unpack her psyche from such a weird and unexpected day. The shoot hadn't been nearly as awful as she'd expected. She and Elle had sparred a tad, but nothing overt. The one detail she couldn't shake, however, was Elle's assertion that Gia had gone out of her way to be unfriendly. While true to a certain extent, hearing it played back was like a punch in the gut. She wasn't raised to be a mean-spirited person. She didn't want to be. In fact, she'd always tried to be kind. Yet she'd let her sense of competition override those instincts when it came to Elle and her bubbly shtick. Yes, Elle and her perfection annoyed her to no end, but she didn't deserve poor treatment. Gia sat up and ran a hand through her hair as self-recrimination swept in. She'd have to find a way to change her behavior where Elle was concerned. And you know what? Maybe Elle wasn't as bad as Gia had built her up to be. Today, they'd actually had fun together on the ride home. She seemed genuine during their conversation. Gia would focus on the good. She could do that. She lay back down and gave it a shot. Okay. Elle could be warm on occasion. Like today when she'd gone out of her way to help Gia out. She was a killer surfer, with the kind of shred and precision Gia worked long hours to emulate. She was definitely pretty, and when she stood near Gia in a swimsuit, like today at the shoot, it was hard to remember the annoying stuff.
She visualized that moment now, taking note of her own very acute reaction. Gia covered her eyes and shook her head. What a complicated scenario she had herself in. She gave her face a scrub to wash away the image of sparkling blue eyes and the swell of cleavage, and reached blindly for her phone. Time to rescue her car and forget about the rest. As if that were an option.
Chapter 5.
He had constantly moving hands, like rovers, all over the place.
Elle sipped her Sauvignon Blanc, appreciating the crisp reveal of flavors.
A lot of touching going on.
Thank God. I hate it when a guy just grabs hold and goes for it. Holly grinned, enjoying the details from Elle's date with Christopher two nights earlier. If only Elle could enjoy them as much. She hadn't thought much about the night since, which told her it hadn't made much of an impact.
What else? Holly asked. Her hair bounced as she readjusted to sit cross-legged on her brown leather couch.
Elle noted distantly that Holly's house always smelled of cinnamon and apples. Homey, like her. She sighed from her spot on the floor and searched for more details that she hadn't filed away, realizing she was failing at girl talk yet again.
That's not enough?
Not nearly. I'll help. So, his hands are on the move. What then? Spare no detail. This has been a long time coming. When was the last time you got laid?
Elle thought on it.
A year ago. The guy with the beard, remember? It's when we learned I hate beards. They're so awful, Hall.
Right. Don't remind me about your facial hair issues. Back to Chris's hands.
Well, he has big hands, and they're clumsy.
Oh, I love big hands.
Holly closed her eyes as if whisked away to a magical sex island. They give me thoughts.
He tried to unbutton my shirt, but he couldn't quite kiss and do that at the same time. Tons of fumbling, which is not his fault. Don't get me wrong, but again, big hands. It kind of ruined the mood.
Holly went still. What do you mean, ruined the mood?
Elle stood and walked to Holly's kitchen, where she dumped the rest of her wine and filled her glass with water. Her early morning workout would thank her.
We just talked after that. He's an awesome conversationalist, really. Did you know he studied abroad in Rome when he was 20? He can still speak Italian and apparently makes a mean veggie lasagna. He's going to make dinner one night soon.
Holly looked like she'd just announced Game of Thrones was moving to the Hallmark Channel.
Hold everything. You're saying you didn't have sex? The story doesn't end in sex?
It doesn't, Elle said. But I still had a great time. We really click.
I thought this was going to be a sex story. This was hugely misleading.
Elle inclined her head from side to side.
It's kind of sexy, though, right? Making out, a little bit of groping, hands on the move? No?
Yeah, until you stopped them. Holly paused. Have you ever considered that you're just not that into him?
Elle had considered it. In fact, she still considered it, because if she were into him, she wouldn't have been balancing her checkbook while he attempted to get her naked. There was a disconnect, but then that wasn't exactly new. Sex just wasn't as important to her as it was to other people. The other stuff mattered more. Not a big deal. Some people also liked broccoli, while others were less enthused. It's what made people different from one another.
Sex isn't everything, Hall. Besides, and hear me out, maybe I just need to take some time for me and focus on surfing. The season is right at its midpoint, and this is probably not the best time to get caught up in anything overly romantic anyway. Christopher and I can keep it light.
And compare lasagna recipes. Holly pouted, which she did exceptionally well. Whatever you say, allow me to hang up my matchmaking cape.
You don't have a cape.
Maybe that was part of the problem. What do I know about matchmaking anyway? I was totally improvising. Oh! A light bulb seemed to propel Holly into action. She grabbed her laptop. I almost forgot. Did you see yourself on Surf Nuggets?
She hadn't. In fact, she avoided Surf Nuggets as much as possible. That website reported mainly gossip from the surf world, and usually got it wrong.
The last story she'd seen about herself said she'd gained 12 pounds and was leaving the tour for a health camp. Total lies. She loved media attention, just not that kind. Holly whirled the laptop around to face Elle. She stared down at the headline. Declaration of War. The article went on to detail a tumultuous relationship between Elle and the number two ranked Gia Malone. It described an all-out feud in which they fought for the trainer's endorsement deal. The short paragraph ended with the line, "The claws are out, and boy, do they sting." She pointed at the screen, laughing it off. "Ridiculous!" "Well, only a little," Holly said, studying the screen. "They got most of it right. You guys do have a rivalry going, and trainers is a legitimate endorsement deal. You just happen to be sharing it." Elle rejected the notion. "No way. There's no backbiting, no underhanded tactics." "Yet," Holly said with a grin. "That story is an inflated tabloid piece. Plus, Gia's actually not so bad, it turns out. I mean, she's not great, don't get me wrong, but we had a chance to talk at the shoot." She thought back to their conversation in the car. Holly looked surprised. "Oh, yeah?
I think we came to an informal understanding. We're different people, and that's not going to change. There will be no kumbaya session, but the campaign should be fine. We'll be able to work together easily enough, but there's no way she's coming close to taking my ranking. By the end of the season, I will be this year's world champion. Serve Nuggets should put that in their pipe and smoke it."
"I'm glad to hear you still have that fire, Wave Weasel. Keep it. Did you shame her for that late drop-in on your wave in the final?"
Elle grinned, remembering the party and their exchange. "In my own way. She knows how I feel on the subject."
"Well, prepare yourself for the world to start asking questions about your hatred for one another. I have a feeling the gossip is only going to get bigger after this write-up."
Elle shook her head. "It's all so stupid."
"It is," Holly nodded. "But I'll need you to leave now."
"What?" Elle froze the application of her lip gloss mid-gloss. "You're kicking me out?"
Holly ushered Elle to the door. "All that big hands talk got me going, and Dash is on his way over."
"You were secretly texting him while we talked? You were summoning your booty call and planning my departure in tandem? What kind of person does that?"
"Me. It's a skill I'm quite proud of."
"You're going to hell."
"Tonight, I'm hoping for heaven. Now leave so I can change into my sexiest underwear and get some much-needed action. Something you should put on your to-do list at some point."
"I'm good."
"Honestly, Elle, if you get laid once in a great while, I think you'd be much happier."
Elle scoffed. "I don't know what you're talking about. I am happy. I'm at the peak of my career and enjoy what I do. Take in the noticeable smile on my face. My life is good."
"Please, you're status quo happy. I'm talking off the charts happy."
Elle grumbled as she hit the sidewalk. "Yeah, well, I don't have your sex drive, okay? Not sure what I can do about that. Just a part of life."
"Maybe you just haven't awakened it yet. Stirred that inner, naughty yearning. Food for thought. Now scram. I've got yearnings of my own happening."
Elle smiled at her friend and headed down the walk. She'd not brought her car since she and Holly lived close enough to walk easily to each other's homes by design. It also allowed them quick access to the beach for impromptu surf sessions. Surfing with her best friend reminded Elle how much she loved the sport. When it was just her and Holly out for a fun Saturday, catching waves, she lost herself in the day, in the sun, the recreational side of an activity she'd forced firmly into the job category years ago. They needed to make a date to do just that soon. Elle needed it. She checked her phone as she walked, daylight all but extinguished, finding an email from her manager, Kip.
"Did you see the latest on you and Malone?"
Elle laughed, because she had seen the latest, and Kip was overreacting. There was nothing to talk about. The feud article would be fodder for about 10 minutes. Then the world would move on to the next new rumor. She clicked the link just because Kip had included it,
and paused right there on the curb. This wasn't the same story from Surf Nuggets. This was a piece from Surf Magazine's online arm, which came with much more clout. Way more people would stumble across this article. She scanned the words in front of her, not quite believing what she was seeing. At the top of the page was a shot of her and Gia in Elle's car, pulling out of the studio's parking lot. There were a few more shots of them smiling, one of her looking rather adoringly at Gia. How in the world had they managed those shots? She'd seen no one with a camera. The headline read, "Canoodling much?" and was followed by a short paragraph under the photos. Elle read on, flabbergasted. Spotted together in West Hollywood, Elle Britton and Gia Malone shed their tour rivalry for a flirtatious afternoon of fun. Sources close to the women say they've discovered a new appreciation for each other and are getting in lots of one-on-one time. Are we witnessing a burgeoning romance? How will this new pairing affect the race for the number one? Beneath the article was that old photo of Gia watching Elle talk to reporters, the one that had received all the attention for Gia's gaze, which had been totally misconstrued. A romance? She scoffed, then scoffed again to be sure the universe had noticed her scoff. How ridiculous! If anything, they'd done their best to achieve civility. Elle had to laugh. How in the world had two opposing articles hit the internet on the exact same afternoon, both making claims about her relationship with Gia Malone, of all people? She called Kip, if for no other reason than to figure out an approach to handle the attention that, at this point, could continue to grow, given the 1-2 punch.
"Thought I'd be hearing from you," he said upon answering.
They'd worked together for years and could skip the polite greetings. "So what's your plan?" Elle asked. "I gave her a ride home when her car wouldn't start. Something with the ignition. That was it."
"I figured. Any clue who these sources are that put you together in a romantic sense?"
"No idea. It's crazy."
"It's not that crazy. She's gay, even if you're not. You've not been linked to anyone romantically for more than one outing. They're making a leap and hoping to hit pay dirt."
"Well, they haven't. Trust me on that. Did you see Surf Nuggets? They're claiming the exact opposite. What is it they say? Any publicity is good publicity?"
He paused. "That part is true. I think we don't comment on the rumors, any of them. At least for a little while. Let the world wander and clock the attention."
She laughed. "Interesting angle. All right. We'll try it your way. Gay is trendy, I guess."
He laughed because he was. "Don't ever forget it."
"How's Peter?"
"Handsome and waiting for me to get off the phone."
She laughed. "Don't let me keep you." A shiver shot through Elle as she ran a hand across the most magnificent naked body she'd ever seen. She relished the feel of heated skin beneath her fingertips, the curves that were on display to her. As their bodies came together, she began to move her hips. Oh, yes, this was good. Slowly at first, and then with more purpose, doing everything in her power to draw out the pleasure she sought and losing the battle. She couldn't help it. She rolled her hips faster now, furiously. She wanted it now, needed to be touched, to be filled, more than she'd ever needed anything. The delicious ache was all-consuming. She bit her bottom lip and slipped her hands between their bodies, cupping two perfect breasts. She held on to them tightly as she was at long last filled, taken, owned. The orgasm ripped through her in an intense rush, leaving her limbless, breathless, and reveling in ecstasy. She reached for Gia, wanting to touch her one more time, needing to, but she was gone. A distant beeping infiltrated her thoughts. It grew louder with each passing second. She resisted, loving this wonderful place she'd found herself in, but losing that battle. Elle blinked several times and stared at the ceiling, attempting to right herself. A dream. She understood that she'd been in the midst of a sexual and incredibly realistic dream. Her heart still hammered away as she glanced at her surroundings, anything to anchor herself in the present.
hyper-aware of her body, her accelerated breathing, and the fact that she'd just come in her sleep, something she generally couldn't even do during sex. Elle took a moment to savor the aftershocks that still took their turns with her. This had never happened to her before. Nothing even close to this. The details of the dream floated back to her, and it was then she understood exactly who she'd been dreaming about. No way. She'd just had a sex dream about a girl. A woman. Gia. And it had been good. They'd been in some sort of press conference, as usual, then a locker room, and somehow ended up in a hotel room together. Gia had kissed her in the hotel room, and she'd given back just as good, thrusting her tongue into Gia's mouth. They touched each other until there were no clothes or thoughts or cares other than following their own desire and where it led them. It had led them to some pretty decadent places. Elle threw an arm over her head and marveled. Well, this was certainly an interesting twist. It was likely that the article from the night before had inspired the dream and all its salacious detail. That's what happens when your mind runs away with itself. You get crazy dreams. She pushed her sated and boneless body out of bed, needing to shake herself awake and back into the here and now. 15 minutes later, after a quick protein shake, she was on the beach and on her way to 500 sit-ups and a 5-mile run with ankle weights. As she ran, her muscles screamed and her brain flashed on the details of that scandalous dream, examining them, curious as to why they'd had such a potent effect on her unconscious body. Why they still did. The waves jostled her free of further reflection, and she lost herself in the sun and ocean spray. Surfing always helped center her. In the shower, just before lunch, she ran the soap across her heated skin. This time, the touches came with new meaning, and she remembered the sensations of someone else's hands on her body. Her stomach dipped, and she placed a hand on the shower wall for support. What in the world was this all about? It was just a damn dream. It had nothing to do with reality. An hour later, phone pressed to her ear with one shoulder as she assembled a turkey sandwich with tomato, she decided to bounce the whole thing off Holly. Have you ever had a dream about a girl? She plopped a sliver of tomato into her mouth. The tomato was key. Without it, why even have a sandwich? All the time. The other night, you and I held up a mall dressed as Mr. and Mrs. Panda. It was epic.
I'm not talking robberies or shopping excursions gone wrong, or drinks with your girlfriends who are friends.
That's a confusing sentence.
What I'm asking, Elle said, changing the phone to her left shoulder so she could slice her sandwich. If you've ever had a dream, if you follow...
Listen, I have about 8 minutes left on my lunch hour and 3 tiny bites of chicken salad before Stan the teller comes to lean against my door and ask what time I get off and what perfume I'm wearing. So you're going to have to be more specific and fast.
Fine, she just put it out there. Say it really quick, like ripping off a Band-Aid. Have you ever had a sex dream about a girl?
Definitely. A long pause. Are you saying that happened to you?
So she wasn't alone. These things happened.
Yes, I've just never had one of those before. No big deal. Well, not anymore it wasn't, now that she knew everyone had them.
Well, they are a big deal if they're good. Was yours good?
Elle felt the blush that no one was around to see. She flipped around and faced her refrigerator for no real reason, and then flipped back.
It wasn't not good.
Hey, I'll take that. Not bad sex dreams count.
Holly's energy dropped noticeably.
Oh, hey, Stan.
Elle suppressed a smile.
Stan the man is right on time. I'll let you get back to work. Thanks for the help.
I didn't do anything.
You were my sounding board.
Then I'm brilliant.
Elle laughed.
Sure, we'll go with brilliant. Bye to Stan.
Don't encourage him. Can we do a surf date this weekend?
Elle mentally scanned her calendar.
I'd love to. Let's book it.
Done. Hey, wait. Who was in the sex dream? You didn't say.
Was it me?
It was, wasn't it? You've always loved my hair.
Sorry, Hall. Definitely wasn't you. Bye.
She clicked off the call before she was pressed further.
She preferred to keep the identity of her dream companion in the vault. She didn't know why, but it mattered. Speaking of, she had an hour